It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me. Woo, boy, another frigid day. Oh, I got some warm weather coming in here in a few days, and then next week will be brutal once again. Hopefully your day is going well. Our phone lines are open, 946-0435. If you want to join me, we've had a lot of good football discussion lately on Mike Tomlin, Steelers, Penn State getting to the national semifinals, Drew Aller. We're going to have a tremendous discussion coming up today here in a few minutes on the wide receiver situation at Penn State. That, among other things, we'll look at all the crazy news of the week with Singleton and Allen coming back. But how Penn State landed in the position that it's in from a wide receiver standpoint. This was not an overnight thing. This was not a one-time thing. This is a several-year process, and it's just absolutely ludicrous. So we'll get into that here in a few minutes. I want to mention something kind of cool here to start the show, though. So coming up this weekend, we're going into the pop culture world here, especially for somebody who grew up in the 80s. Coming up this weekend here in Altoona, they're bringing back the movie The Goonies to play on the big screen for a couple of days. Looks like it's Sunday and Monday. We are taking our kids, my wife and I, we're taking our kids on Sunday to see The Goonies on the big screen. I love this idea. I absolutely love this idea. I think we should have more movies come back and play on the big screen at times. Do you go for this? These movies that you've seen, you know, 5 times, 10 times, 50 times, whatever, wouldn't it be cool to see them back on the big screen every now and then? My son and I, this is one of the great thrills I've had as a dad. My son and I, we went to see on Father's Day in 2019, Field of Dreams on the big screen in Pittsburgh. It was Father's Day. My son had just had a great baseball game. He was 7 years old. He got a game ball that day on Father's Day. Then we went to see Field of Dreams on the big screen wearing our baseball jerseys. It was awesome. My wife and I and her father, we went to see Christmas Vacation on the big screen a number of years ago. That's obviously on TV all the time, but I just love that idea. So coming up this weekend here now too. No, this is not a commercial for the Goonies. I just think it's a great idea. So they're going to show The Goonies on the 40th anniversary here in Altoona on the big screen. There's something about watching a movie in a theater that really is cool. I don't really go to the theaters anymore. I've got kids. We don't have time, and it's really even the money to go to theaters because it's just outrageous how much movies cost, and then you get the Cokes and the popcorn and all that stuff. And, my God, a family of four, you're $80 easily, you know, if not more. So I watch a lot of movies on Netflix, streaming, whatever, on the TV at home. But when you get a chance to go out to the big screen and see it in the theater, I've had some really cool big, movie theater experiences in my life. And, you know, I've seen Goonies probably 15 times. When I was a kid in the 80s, because, again, Goonies came out in 85, I had HBO. I had Showtime when I was a kid growing up. So these movies were shown on TV all the time. Goonies, Gremlins. I remember Critters. Remember that crazy movie series called Critters? That was on TV all the time. Some of these movies that I grew up with, I'd love to have a whole bunch of them come back in the theater every now and then. So anyway, they're doing that Sunday and Monday. We're going to see if we can get some friends together, either, you know, maybe some kids of our adult friends, or maybe we just have a grown-up party. Maybe we just get 15 or 20 grown-ups to go watch the movie, because we're going to enjoy it more than the kids, I'm sure. Anyway, if there's a movie, I'm curious, if there's a movie that you'd love to see on the theater screen again, what would it be? Here's one for me, Shawshank Redemption. I've seen Shawshank on TV so many times, I would enjoy going to the theater to see Shawshank Redemption. Goodfellas would probably be the same thing. Some of these movies that you've seen for a ton, you know them by heart. But I didn't go watch Goodfellas in the theater 30-something years ago. I didn't go watch Shawshank in the theater. I did watch Forrest Gump in the theater. Here's a cool story. So I'm watching Forrest Gump, 1994, at a theater in Little Rock, Arkansas. And there's a great scene when Forrest Gump and Bubba first get to Vietnam, and they meet Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan, and they tell him they tell him they're from Alabama. But then a minute or so later, Gary Sinise says, "Where you boys say you're from? Arkansas? I've been there. Little Rock's a fine town." And so everybody in the theater in Little Rock was just going, "Ah, that's crazy. It was awesome to have the town mentioned in the movie." So, but I remember seeing Forrest Gump. Probably my favorite movie theater experience was Independence Day. I just had a conversation about this with my son the other day. But yeah, I remember watching Independence Day in the theater in 1996, I believe it was. And a couple things here. I love alien movies. I love takeover movies, that kind of stuff. So, and Independence Day was just unbelievable. The size, the scale, the scope, all the things blowing up and everything. It was very, very well made. I remember a couple things. When in Independence Day, when they decide to nuke the city of Houston to try to get rid of the aliens in Houston, scene in there where they set off the nuclear bomb in Houston. Okay, this is 1996. All right, remember, this is a long time ago. But then you hear one of the Marine people on the ground in Houston say, Negative, guys, the target not destroyed. I remember being like a 21-year-old person sitting in I guess I was 22 at the time, sitting in the theater thinking like, "Oh my God, our nukes aren't working on these things. So we're toast. We're absolutely toast." Could you imagine? Look, here's the thing. If aliens come to our planet, we're done. Can we all agree on that? If aliens have figured out a way to travel through space and time, then you got to figure they are hundreds of thousands of years ahead of us in terms of their technology. If aliens get to Earth, we are finished. If they want us now, if they want to be friendly, that's one thing. You cross your fingers. But if they want to annihilate us, we are toast. Now, in Independence Day, it was really cool because this was the beginning of the internet kind of thing. 96, you know, you got the internet, World Wide Web, and the computer virus and all. And so Jeff Goldblum, he comes up with this computer virus that he's going to upload. And you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is great. This is amazing." And I just remember that experience in the theater. That's probably my all-time favorite movie theater experience of kind of going through the emotions of Independence Day. As goofy as that sounds, I know. Hey, we got Dan on the phone. What's up, Dan? How you doing, pal?
Better than I deserve, Corey. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the movie Concussion, the story about Mike Webster.
Yeah, you love that. You've mentioned that a couple times on the show before.
Yes, and American Underdog's another one. But Mike Webster, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he is. Let me Google that here. What do you love so much about that movie?
Well, it brings back now, because because of the concussion protocol. Now they can up in the booth. They can stop the
That's
play
right.
and
mm-hmm.
have the player evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yep.
And then now they have to get that that fellow that had three or four concussions this season and.
Tua Tagovailoa has had several. Mike Webster is in the Hall of Fame. The NFL lied so badly to all these players. I'm reading Mike Webster. He died of a heart attack in 2002 at age 50, and they found CTE in his brain during his autopsy. So Mike Webster, one of those toughest kind of guys you could imagine, playing football in the 70s with 10 cans on their heads as helmets. I mean, the NFL... the NFL was an embarrassing disgrace for decades, the way they hid and protected the concussion secrets and everything. I'm glad that that's all out in the open now. I was watching a game the other day. Who was it? It might have been a college game. I can't remember. But, like, quarterback dinged his head on the ground. He got back up, kind of looked fine. But the referee on the field had stared in his eyes for a second and told him to go off the field. It was a Penn State Notre Dame game. Riley Leonard, the quarterback for Notre Dame, he banged his head and he got up after 2 or 3 seconds. And then you're like, okay, well, he's gonna be fine. And the referee, you can see him on the field. He looks into the guy's eyes and he probably saw a glazed look. And so Riley Leonard exited the game, didn't come back for the first half, and that's when that backup quarterback led Notre Dame down the field for the field goal. But think about that, Dan. This guy was only on the field for 2 or 3 seconds, and he immediately had to come out of the game and missed 45 minutes of football. Think about all the football players, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, who got friggin' knocked out on the field, for God's sake. I mean, they might have been knocked the hell out. You give them some smelling salts, and they're right back in the game 2 minutes later. The way concussions were treated in professional football, probably until 15 years ago, was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah. Another thing, Nebraska man's sounding much better lately.
I love it. Isn't it great? I'm glad you said that, because I can tell when he calls in, he sounds like the same old guy now.
Yeah, he's back to almost 100% for sure. And his thinking is great and everything. And I like the nickname Soxy he got by his grandkids, I think it was.
That was good. Good stuff, Dan. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to dive into Penn State's really ridiculous, embarrassing wide receiver situation coming up after the break.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in 3 counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Hey, get them.
about all that music stuff. Playing, trying to get the phone lines to work in here. We had a guest lined up here, but phone lines not exactly playing along. All right, so kind of I'm texting the guest here as we speak. All right, so we're going to talk some Penn State football in just a second once the phone line does decide to cooperate. A lot of things going on. Clearly getting to the national semifinal last week against Notre Dame. Then you've got a whole bunch of news this week with Nicholas Singleton coming back, Catron Allen coming back, Tom Allen, the defensive coordinator, leaving. It's just been a crazy time for Penn State. A lot of really, really good news. Obviously, the bad news of losing in the national semifinal. We'll recap all of it with Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. What's up, Joe? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well, Corey. Yeah, I thought things would start slowing down once the season ended, and they're slowing down travel-wise, but news-wise, not so much.
I'll tell you, you were out, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were out there for the Fiesta Bowl, then out there for the Orange Bowl. Is some part of you happy they didn't win so you wouldn't have to go somewhere else crazy a week later, or are you kind of bummed that you didn't get the chance to experience a national championship game?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. There's definitely relief as far as not having to make those arrangements, get on the flights, et cetera. But also, covering the national championship game, that would have obviously been one of the thrills of a lifetime as a journalist. But there's good and bad aspects to it. I think another good thing is now I get to focus a little more after this week once the new defensive coordinator is hired, which I think might be happening pretty soon. I think we're about done with returning / leaving announcements. Once this week's over, I'll be able to focus on wrestling a little more, and I definitely love doing that because obviously Penn State wrestling is the best there is.
You know, there's so much going on with Penn State football. We'll try to cover a lot of it, including going back to the Notre Dame game. But just to catch up right now, I want to have a frank and, you know, kind of honest and maybe a little bit of a history discussion about the wide receiver situation, because that to me is just so fascinating on so many levels of how a team could get to a national semifinal and quite frankly be 45 seconds away from playing in the national championship game and yet have a wide receiver situation that is just flat out embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. Joe, they almost won a national semifinal game without completing a pass to a wide receiver. So you can look at that, the glass half full. Obviously, Tyler Warren, the running backs, a lot of good skill position people. The glass half empty is how in the world did a top five, top eight program in the country get to a point where the wide receiver scenario is such a mess that we saw what happened in the semifinal. And then a few days later, their top two wide receivers, Trey Wallace and Omari Evans, are entering the transfer portal. So next year they're going to be without, you know, anybody basically that produced much this year from a wide receiver. So if just in a nutshell, how incredible is it that Penn State is so good in so many aspects and yet is absolutely a train wreck at one outlying aspect?
Yeah. Well, as you said, Corey, there's definitely a glass half full way to look at it, and that is that obviously Penn State came within the defensive stop away from going to the national title game without a receiver catching a pass in the Orange Bowl. But at the same time, the glass half empty is that the guy who masked a lot of those deficiencies, Tyler Warren, he's going to be gone next year. And even if Luke Reynolds is very good, which I think he will be as the number one tight end next season, it's very hard to imagine somebody matching or even coming close to Tyler Warren's production this season. That's one of the best seasons a tight end has ever had, really, in college football. So, yeah, it's definitely, I would look at more of a glass half empty end because it's not like Penn State had receivers that were expected to perform and they just didn't perform. Everybody knew, even going back to the offseason in 2023, that the receivers were going to be a problem or could be a problem. Everybody knew the same going into 2024, and marginal progress was made at best. And in the game that mattered, the semifinal, no progress was made. In fact, progress was lost. So, yeah, I feel that this is an issue that at this point, unless Penn State breaks the bank with NIL, it's going to be very hard to fix because as a former Penn State letterman who is now a rising star in media, Landon Tangwall pointed out, he did a 15-minute breakdown of this on his YouTube channel. He said Penn State is going to have a hard time recruiting receivers now because they don't have any legs really to stand on, whereas Phil Troutwine can say, hey, we developed Olu Fashanu on the offensive line. Deion Barnes can point to Abdul Carter, denied Dennis Sutton, Zane Durant, et cetera. Anthony Poindexter can point to guys like Brisker and Brown and Jalen Reed. There's really nothing Penn State can do on the receivers end because the last star they had, Jahan Dawson, that was two position coaches ago and 3 years seasons ago. So it's very hard, and we know the nature of wide receivers is that they're not guys generally that are okay being in the background. The really good ones, they want the ball, maybe not at all times, but they definitely don't want to be background characters. And if you want to get a difference maker at receiver, you have to get a guy that knows that he's going to be a star and develop at Penn State. And Penn State doesn't really have a lot of proof to that. So unless Penn State has a plan that involves spending a lot of money, which I think the fact that Penn State's two leading receivers from 2024 left might be a good sign because maybe that means there's something cooking and they're really able to give this room a facelift, which it needs, without really breaking the bank and going all out. I don't really see how it gets any better because Penn State doesn't have a proven track record in recent years of developing wide receivers. And when receivers are looking at schools, transformative ones anyway, they want to go to a place where guys have flourished. And since Jahan Dawson, maybe Parker Washington left, Penn State hasn't had those type of guys.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. So that's exactly right. In recent years, it's been trouble, but you go back to Chris Godwin, you've got Jahan Dawson, K.J. Hamler. These guys were terrific college receivers. Parker Washington, I've thought about this a lot. I remember writing this at the time that if Parker Washington comes back, not this year, but last year, what could last year have been if Parker Washington is there? He got hurt and missed a lot of the year before, and then that hurt his draft stock, and yet he decided to turn pro anyway. But if Parker Washington had been on the team last year, maybe all these storylines that we've talked about, you know, Drew Aller doesn't take shots down the field, Drew Aller only throws safe out routes, blah, blah, blah. You know, how much could have changed, my goodness, if Parker Washington had decided to come back for another year? But that's just kind of one little anecdote. I want to get to how we got here. Okay, I want to get to how we got here, Joe, because somebody posted this on Twitter yesterday, and I'd kind of forgotten this, and it is kind of funny. It was a picture of James Franklin in a Green Bay Packers shirt. And people forget this. James Franklin spent a year in the NFL as an assistant coach. And Joe, I'm sure you know this. What position did he coach?
He was a receivers coach.
James Franklin was a wide receivers coach in the NFL. All right, so looking at his career, he played quarterback at East Stroudsburg, but his first year as a college assistant, 1995, at Kutztown, he coached the wide receivers. Then at James Madison in 97, he coached the wide receivers. Then in 1999 at Idaho State, he coached the wide receivers. And then at Maryland from 2000 to 2004, he coached the wide receivers. And then with the Green Bay Packers in 2005, he coached the wide receivers.
Yep.
So you've got a guy who played quarterback in college, has extensive experience coaching wide receivers, and you have a program that was on path of having tremendous wide receiver. Chris Godwin is a tremendous wide receiver to me. Allen Robinson before him, but that was a different, you know, Allen Robinson, great wide receiver. Jahan Dotson, KJ Hamler, Parker Washington to a much lesser extent. But the point is, everything was going pretty well, Joe. I mean, how do we get to a point where you've got every single thing kind of going for you to you flip a switch and you don't have a single catch by a wide receiver in a national semifinal game? First time that's happened to Penn State in 20. How do you wrap your mind around how we got from point A to point B?
Yeah, well, I think it really goes back to the recruiting class, or lack of a recruiting class, that was a big catalyst in getting Taylor Stubblefield fired and Marcus Hagans hired at receivers coach. And that's that class of 2023. They had one commitment. That commitment, Carmelo Taylor, only stuck around the year, never played, ended up leaving, and I don't think he's playing college football anywhere. But they had three guys decommit at receiver from that cycle. So that's a 3-to-1 ratio against you. And decommitments to commitments, and that really doesn't speak well to the recruiting abilities of Taylor Stubblefield, and that's a big reason why he's gone. And I think even predating that, Corey, the 2022 receiving class I think had five signees, and none of those guys, well, with the exception of Amari Evans, who's departed now, really have done much of anything. You know, Caden Saunders, people forget, in that 2022 recruiting class, there was Drew Aller, there was Nicholas Singleton, and then behind him, I think Caden Saunders was right there with the guys that people were excited the most to see at Penn State. This was a borderline five-star guy. The only way he's been able to get on the field the past few years, really, is as a punt returner. So he hasn't developed. Guys like Anthony Ivey, they haven't developed. Liam Clifford, going back to 2021. He's been okay, but he's not a starting caliber receiver that you'd want, I think, at most programs. And, I feel that not being able to recruit really at all in 2023 and the five guys you got in 2022, one of them kind of panning out, but not really, and the other four not really playing roles at all, that's a strike against you. Because, you know, when Jahan Dotson left, and Penn State knew Parker Washington was going to be gone soon, and they got Mitchell Tinsley, who they knew was a rental. He had 1 year of eligibility from Western Kentucky. Penn State needed guys to keep that going the way, you know, when Chris Godwin and Deshaun Hamilton left, you still had KJ Hamler. When KJ Hamler left, you had Jahan Dotson.
Right.
Dotson
you had carryover with guys.
Yeah, and there's no carryover since Jahan Dotson left, really.
Okay. So to take this further, with Taylor Stubblefield. Taylor Stubblefield was a fantastic wide receiver in his own right at Purdue. Yep. He did not recruit at a tremendously high level. That's a given. You mentioned that. But he also coached Jahan Dotson at Penn State. I don't believe he did not recruit him. But Do we know why Taylor Stubblefield was fired? You mentioned recruiting, and you just kind of left it at that. Okay. Because there's holes here. Okay, I'll get to Marcus Hagans in a second. But I had heard that maybe there were some personality conflicts there, and maybe they didn't necessarily like Taylor Stubblefield's work ethic. James Franklin's a guy that wants to work 25 hours a day. Do we know why Taylor Stubblefield was fired?
Well, the stuff I'm saying about recruiting is all from an article that Dave Jones, our now former colleague, wrote, I think, in the days following Stubblefield's firing. And Dave, obviously, who is very well-connected, more well-connected than probably almost anybody on the Penn State beat, he basically said that it was recruiting. So that's what I'm going off. I don't have any firsthand confirmation to that. But because it is public record, that's where I'm hearing recruiting aspect.
So that's what we're going to go with. Marcus Hagans was a horrifically bad recruiter at Virginia. Terrible. Worse than Taylor Stubblefield, okay? You can go back and look at the numbers. You can look at the recruiting history of Marcus Hagans, at Virginia. Now, look, this is Virginia. I remember writing this at the time. Trying to recruit to Virginia is probably very difficult compared to trying to recruit at Penn State. Marcus Higgins, I would challenge anybody. He had no background. He was awful. He was one of the worst recruiters of any position coach in the ACC. I mean, he brought basically nobody to Virginia, okay? And so whatever beef you've got with Taylor Stubblefield, Taylor Stubblefield was an extremely high-level receiver himself at Purdue. And again, we're not there in practice. We don't know how he talks to 17-year-old kids. We don't know if he wants to work 25 hours a day. I didn't see, me personally, Joe, I didn't see cataclysmic Armageddon-type problems with your wide receiver situation when Taylor Stubblefield was there. Okay, I didn't see that. And by the way, Taylor Stubblefield recruited Caden Saunders. He recruited Lonnie White Jr., who decided to go play baseball for the Pirates. And he's got a career batting average of about .210. I was having a discussion with somebody the other day. I wonder if Lonnie White Jr. gives up baseball in the next year or two, because that's not working out for him. Taylor Stubblefield recruited Harrison Wallace III, who we thought was a pretty damn good receiver. You know, everybody came into this year, Harrison Wallace going to be the number one guy. He recruited Amari Evans, who was the number two receiver. Now, look, I'm not going to go to bat for Taylor Stubblefield's all-time recruiting rankings, because they're not great. I'm just going to poke holes into this Marcus Higgins thing, because Marcus Higgins' all-time recruiting rankings, quite frankly, and I can't say the word on radio, it's the S word that I'll say crap. I mean, Marcus Higgins has literally done very little to nothing as a college recruiter. Again, with the caveat of that he was at Virginia. And so if we're trying to determine how we got here, okay, if we're trying to determine how we got here, James Franklin fired a guy that maybe he was a terrible recruiter and replaced him with a guy who was a worse recruiter. So, I mean, am I wrong in this?
I don't think we can definitively say that you're wrong yet, because, you know, Higgins' development clearly has not been good enough in the past two seasons of Penn State. And if the development hasn't been good, who's to say, and you mentioned his track record at Virginia, who's to say his recruiting deserves the benefit of the doubt? Now, I think Penn State's last two recruiting classes have been an improvement from 2023. Not that that was very hard. They got three guys from the 2024 class signed that I think all have potential. I think they got three more receivers coming in from the 2025 class that could be pretty good. And they also have two transfer receivers coming in. One of them, Kyron Hudson for USC. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's another Julian Fleming type. But the other guy, Devontae,
oh my God, that's terrible. That'd be terrible. If you got another Fleming, what the hell's the point? I mean, seriously,
Ross that had 1,000 yards receiving.
Correct, but has there been a more overrated player in the history of Penn State football than Julian Fleming? I mean, my God, outside of two catches on fourth down against USC, did the guy do anything other than block pretty well this year? I mean, I'm being serious.
No.
If we're going to try to track back what's happened here, we got to be brutally honest with some of these people. Julian Fleming, I know there was issues with injuries at Ohio State. Did he develop at all? Did they utilize him in any capacity this year other than the fourth downs at USC? And again, from a development standpoint, KLS, did he develop last year? He got drastically worse as the season went on and left. Did Marcus Higgins develop KLS? Did Marcus Higgins develop Trey Wallace? Did Marcus Higgins develop? So, again, Joe, I know you're on the beat now. You got to go deal with these people. It's probably a little harder for you to just come drop a hammer on them like I'm doing. I think Marcus Higgins is a gigantic 98% piece of the problem. I think he should be fired immediately and you completely start over. So I go back. I look at Stubblefield. I'm like, okay, fine. Maybe you didn't like certain things. You replaced him with the guy who has been an absolute disaster, Joe.
Yeah, I don't know if what Marcus Higgins' job says is going to be for 2025. When Stubblefield got fired, I think it was 2 weeks after the Rose Bowl. So
that's right. Yeah, it did wait a while. Yeah. And do you remember how shocking that was? Do you remember when he got fired? It was pretty stunning. James hasn't fired many people.
Yep. And there was a lot of, I think the word excitement is probably harsh because the man did lose his job, but there was a lot of sense, I think, around Penn State fans that, okay, this is a sign that James Franklin isn't satisfied with winning, that he's going to go the extra mile. And I think people were kind of happy in a way to see that step being taken. But obviously, Taylor Somerfield didn't get fired because of what he did in the present time. He got fired because Franklin didn't feel he set up well for the future. And 2 years, the future hasn't been any better, I don't think, than it would have been had they kept Taylor Somerfield. And I think there's fair reason to assume it would be worse. So I don't know if Marcus Hagans is a goner. If I had to guess, he'll probably stay another year because I do think that they're going to really try to revamp the receivers room talent-wise and give him a shot. But there's no doubt, I don't think at all, that he's coaching for his job in 2025.
Okay, so again, we're recapping all this stuff. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now, and I'm not going to let this go because, again, Joe, do you think there's a chance Penn State can win the national title next year?
Yeah.
I do, too. They're going to be – I saw the odds the other day. They've got the fifth best odds to win a national title. Do you have any idea if Penn State's going to have even a remotely decent wide receiver? I mean decent. I don't even mean Trey Wallace good. Do you have any idea if Penn State will have a legitimate college football wide receiver?
I would think yes, because I don't think Trey Wallace and Amari Evans leave Penn State if they felt they were guaranteed to be the top to be among the top receivers coming back. I don't really see that. I think Wallace probably among the guys that are there right now would have still been the number one guy next year. So like I said, I think those two guys leaving is more of a sign that they got, as Deion Sanders would say, they have Louis Vuitton coming, or they at least think they have a chance to get Louis Vuitton coming. And I don't feel Penn State's done adding at the receiver position. I feel like that's going to be revamped next year. And what they end up doing with that is remain to be seen.
Do they have – and this is where we'll kind of branch off into some other interesting things, because Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are coming back. Drew's coming back. Okay, so you can find numbers online that say Drew made about $800,000 in NIL this year, and same for Nicholas Singleton, about $800,000 in NIL. I'm sure it was more than that. You know, I'm sure they've got some other deals. It's going to be hard to find – figures for all of these types of things. So, but all three are coming back, and especially with Singleton and Allen, I got to think that there's going to be a lot of money in play for Drew and Singleton, and Allen will probably get a big bump. So what would be your guess? Because if Drew Aller entered the free agent market, if he transferred, I think he'd get $4 million. Carson Beck got $3 million. Drew's better than Carson Beck, we think. Okay. So if Drew's staying, he ain't making $800,000. All right. What would be a ballpark figure on what you think Drew's going to get total NIL next year?
Oh, total ballpark, and this isn't based on anything inside. Based on the fact that Bo Prabila is getting $1.5 million, you got to think Drew's getting at least $2 million, right? I would hope that he's making more than $1.5 million.
So let's say $2 million. How much Nick's getting? Yeah. How much Nick getting? 1.5?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair number. I don't think anybody's making more than the quarterback. So.
How much Fat Man getting? Fat Man getting $1 million, or is he more $750,000? Because, you know, as effective as he is, he doesn't have the cachet maybe of a Nick Singleton. Is Catron getting $1 million?
He might be getting $1 million because I think there was a lot of speculation that he was gonna either enter the draft or enter the transfer portal. So I think it's fair to think that Penn State might have upped the ante with him financially. So he might be getting $1 million.
Okay, and so we're at $4.5 million right there. Okay, now Penn State paid this year, this past season, reportedly about $12.5 million. Ohio State was $20 million. I think I think Texas was $21-22. Georgia, give or take, somewhere around there. Where's the money coming from, Joe? Where's the money coming? This is the NFL quarterback discussion, that you have to win early on in an NFL quarterback's career before you pay him $50 to $60 million, because when you pay the quarterback $50 to $60 million, that's a lot less money you have to fill other holes. So Everybody connect the dots here with me. It's awesome that Nick Singleton's coming back and Catron's coming back, and we figured Drew would be coming back. If Penn State's still in the $12 to $13 million range, and last year those guys were making $2 million, and this year they're going to make $4.5 million, is there enough money for everybody else? You see what I'm getting at? Is there enough money to go into the portal and buy some outstanding wide receivers? Is there enough money to do much anything else outside of your big three?
Yep, and that's a good question. And they also they had to keep Zane Durant, which I'm sure cost them too, and deny Dennis Sutton. So
yeah, let's just say both of them are at $300,000 to $500,000. Is that reasonable for especially for DDS? I don't know Zane Durant's DDS money, but $500,000 for Zane Durant.
Yeah, it's probably reasonable.
$500,000 for deny Dennis Sutton. $300,000 for Zane Durant. Is that about right?
Yeah.
So we're close to another million for those two. Now we're up to $5.5 million for six guys. Five guys. So you see what I'm getting at, that, I mean, I'm not just talking about just the wide receiver situation. This is more of an NIL scenario for Penn State. How does Penn State – will this run to a semifinal? Will this help open up some checkbooks from some big donors who maybe haven't believed in James Franklin before – But maybe now they will.
Yeah, I think it will because they see how close Penn State is, and I think it was really apparent. It's been apparent the past few seasons how much this team needs a standout receiver, and now that it cost them a win in the semifinals, which would have put them in the national title game, I think that James Franklin did enough this season to change people's minds. Corey, living in the Pittsburgh area, I've seen people that are very anti-Penn State kind of come around and acknowledge that, hey, James Franklin did a really good job this season. And if those guys are coming around, I'd like to think the donors are at Penn State too. So, yeah, I definitely feel that the way Penn State performed this season kind of put trust in the people that really have the power to change Penn State football, aside from the players and coaches, put that trust in that James Franklin's the guy. And, you know, investing in what he's doing could be a worthwhile investment.
Yeah. All right, last thing I want to get back to Notre Dame, just in general, because I've asked every caller this over the last week. Joe, who was the better team, Penn State or Notre Dame?
Oh, that's really hard.
Was it really hard? Really? Is that a hard question? I don't think it's a hard question.
Well, I think just specifically for that night, it was a really even game. I thought Penn State was clearly better in the first half, and Notre Dame was clearly the better team in the second half. And obviously, that mistake Penn State made at the end opened the door for Notre Dame to clinch it with a field goal, and they ended up running through that. So, I'm looking at the numbers. Notre Dame outgained Penn State, had more first downs, passed for more yards, which who would have thought, I don't think many people thought that Riley Leonard would outplay Drew Aller passing-wise, but he did. So I think you could probably say Notre Dame was the better team. They had fewer penalties, too. So.
Okay, interesting, because if Cam Miller doesn't fall down, Penn State's in the national championship game, I believe. I mean, to me...
Possibly. I think the game definitely goes into overtime. And if the game
goes into overtime and you've got Singleton and Allen and Tyler Warren, whose chances would you like there?
Yeah, I think Penn State would have been set up pretty good.
Yeah. So, hey, look, I'm glad you said Notre Dame. I've had no one say Notre Dame. I've asked 50 people that over the last week, every single person. Now, obviously, they're gonna have blue-colored glasses on, and they're going to say Penn State. I think they played 100 times, Penn State wins 60 to 70 of the game. So, I think Notre Dame's a nice little team, but I don't think you're going to get your backup quarterback coming in and leading a phenomenal field goal drive that basically helped determine that game out of nowhere. So anyway, the reason I asked the question is because if you lose to a team that you just know is better than you, if Penn State loses to Ohio State or they lose to Michigan, while fans can get frustrated, I think there's a level of acceptance of, hey, they're better than us. You know, yeah, I'm okay. I've played a lot of sports my whole life. If you lose to somebody better than you, you tip your cap. If you lose to somebody, then you feel like you should have won the game. I think that stings a lot. So All things being equal, and I know you're young, and I've only been around Penn State football for 25 years. I don't go back to the 70s. Historically speaking, how much does this loss sting for a lifelong Penn State fan?
Yeah, I think I've been talking about this with some people too. Is that aside from the Sugar Bowl the unofficial national title game, but the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, 1-2 with the goal line stand. Aside from that, this might be right there with the toughest postseason losses in Penn State history. Because, as you said, it was all right there. Penn State was just 1 or 2 plays away from going to the national title game, and they couldn't get it done. So, yeah, there's been some tough losses. But aside from that Sugar Bowl, I think that might be right up there with the toughest of them to swallow.
Yeah, it was a fascinating season. There's a lot of good to be had. Joe and I are both in agreement. Penn State's got a shot to win a national title next year. Now, they're going to have to bring in some pieces. We'll see what Ohio State does. Are they going to go out and spend $30 million on their roster? So there are obviously some things that are going to shake down. But for the life of me, man, I cannot wrap my mind around how a program that has done basically 95% of things at a terrific or exceptional level could be so god-awful at one level like the wide receivers, Joe. It's hard to fathom how that, when your head coach was a wide receivers coach in the NFL, it's just hard to fathom how they got to this point.
Yeah. It really is. And as you mentioned, every position, you have something to hang your hat on with Penn State, and the receivers, they just don't. And if you don't have success receiving, it's really hard to recruit, and it's really hard to kind of break out of the slump that they're in. So they got to figure out something, and they're probably going to have to open the checkbook to do it.
Yeah. That's a great point. We'll talk a lot here in the next few months about where the money will come from, and hopefully Joe's right that some big donors will be pleased with what James Franklin did and decide to write some bigger checks. Thanks, Joe. That's a great discussion, buddy. Really appreciate the extended time, man.
Yep. Thanks, Court.
Very good stuff there, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now, I got to take a real quick break. We'll get a phone call or two after the break if we can.
Hedrick Motorsports announced that Amazon Prime Video is going to join the team this year and sponsor Chase Elliott's number 9 car at Talladega in April, Kansas in May, as well as the All-Star Race. The deal as a primary sponsor for Chase Elliott and the number 9 team goes through 2027, and the relationship includes 3 races per year as the primary with a full season of associate sponsorships. Chase said, quote, "It's great to see Prime Video come into NASCAR and now join us at Hendrick Motorsports and the number 9 team. They're leaders in entertainment and technology, and I think it's a perfect fit on all levels. Seeing a fresh perspective on our sport is cool," end quote. Team owner Rick Hendrick said, quote, "Welcoming Prime Video to our team is a proud moment. They're committed to our sport in a big way and taking an innovative approach and delivering world-class broadcasts and content to our fans. Hendrick Motorsports is ready to support their efforts, and we look forward to building something special together over the next 3 years," end quote. Rising motorsports star Corey Day has inked a multi-year deal with the team for a partial Xfinity Series schedule this season, as well as some Truck Series races with Spire Motorsports. Team owner Rick Hendrick said, quote, "When Kyle Larson and Jeff Gordon say someone is the real deal, it certainly gets your attention," end quote. They're going to have sponsorship from HendrickCars.com, and he will race in nearly 30 pavement events in 2025 with the championship-winning organization and its affiliate teams. This is the final lap.
Welcome to Staples.
I am so pumped. My business is going to kill it this year.
Awesome. How can I help?
First, a new computer.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you save big on tech.
And new posters.
Save on custom printing, too.
And
a new chair?
A chair? Who has time to sit?
Maybe all your new clients?
Now you're talking.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 2/1.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renter's and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
All right, we're going to make this quick. I'm going to try to get 2 phone calls in here. First, we got Nebraska Man. What's up, Nebraska Man? How you doing, pal?
Hey, Corey, you had a great show today. That was a very interesting conversation you had
with your
friend there.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, my situation with Penn State wide receivers, you got to root for Ohio State to lose a national championship game this year due to the fact any wide receivers want to go to Penn State. They know they got the 2 running backs coming back. They're the only backs in the nation that had 1,000-yard rushing this year. And they don't know if they're going to see the ball quite enough as they are with these 2 guys coming back. And if Ohio State wins a national championship, they have the alumni, they have the money, and they always do recruit the best wide receivers. So we just got to hope for the best and, you know, throw the dice and see what happens down the road.
Tell you, Ohio State, they recruit wide receivers at an unbelievable level. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. We're going to take one more here. Clarkster, what you got, buddy? How you doing?
I told you, 1.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've yet to see that confirmed. I know that's what's out there. If Bo Prabula is getting 1.5 million after never starting a game, how is Drew – look, I mean, Drew's stuck in a place. There's no bidding war. How's Drew only at 2? Shouldn't Drew be at 2.5, 3?
Yeah, probably.
But you see what I'm getting at. I named 5 guys. Clarkster, I named 5 guys that you got to pay them $5 million. There's
I know, this is getting insane. This is nothing to do with the money that the colleges are making. This is money over and above it, or that was under the table, or whatever you wanted to call it. What does the backup lineman get? You know, what is Title IX going to do to this?
I just hope that there are enough boosters out there that are going to get – because, again, if you got to pay 5 guys $4.5 to $5 million and your budget is $12 to $13 million, it's like the NFL. You're going to have big holes in some places where you can't afford to pay as much money.
Well, but I don't know why the underlings, if they see and it's published, why aren't they making – you know, saying, hey, we have to do something here because we're not participating at all in the money that the colleges are making.
Yeah, and Penn State has done a really good job of actually being able to keep guys there. Hey, Clarkster, I appreciate it, man. I'm going to take one more real quick break. That interview lasted so long that it kind of ate into the show today.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Every morning, we rise and shine, make breakfast, and brush away the night's rest. These routines help us start the day off right. Nature Made vitamins are a simple step in that daily care regimen. Multivitamins with daily essentials, clinically studied probiotics for gut health support, magnesium to help relax the body. Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, if you want to sneak in a phone call, you can. 946-0435. It's got to be quick over the next couple of minutes. 946-0435. Today's show brought to you every day, and like it is every day, by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe, and check them out online at boswellpipes.com. Really good discussion. I don't like to, on our interviews that we do with guests, I don't like to go more than like 18 or 20 minutes because we don't pay these people. I'm a guest on a bunch of radio shows around the country. I have been for many years, and you're always kind of just donating your time, you know, just kind of have some good discussion, help out, you know, a lot of radio people that do shows around the country. So I really respect the people's time. Joe Smeltzer went like 32 minutes, which is fantastic, and I will apologize to Joe for having him on that long, but there, that was a good 20-minute discussion on the Penn State wide receiver situation. It's unbelievable. It truly is. When you've got a program that is so good at so many things, Penn State is elite in a lot of ways. And yet, my God, the sisters of the poor from a wide receiver situation. It is hard to believe there is that big of a discrepancy. Hopefully we got to the bottom of some of it here. Taylor Stubblefield, how much was he to blame? How much is Marcus Hagans to blame? How much some of it is just timing? Whatever. Folks, have a good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.